Hang. Just a brief thought. Yesterday we noted that in the middle of a bracha, you hear somebody say, Baruch Atah Hashem, you say? Right? Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, which we said designates two different things. Baruch Hu, or Baruch Shemo, that on the one hand we're recognizing God as a personal presence, Baruch Hu, He is blessed, and also Shemo, the name, we also recognize that there's a distance, so we shouldn't breed too much familiarity, but also not lose touch. And what do we say at the end of a bracha? Someone finishes a bracha, we all say?
Amen.
Amen, which is exactly what he says. That, kushigamet ha-bracha, tzarech lo ma' amen. You say amen. Now, what does amen mean? What is the translation of the word amen?
It's the truth.
Truth. How do you say truth in Hebrew?
Emet.
And he actually says, uperush amen, and what's the meaning of the word amen? Emet. So if amen means emet, what should I say at the end of every bracha?
Emet.
You say bracha, now you should say emet. What am I saying amen for?
So we're going to change that right now?
Yeah, we're changing it right now. That's the conclusion. Bottom line, it's all done. So Kel Melech Ne'eman is seen as an abbreviation of amen when it's said before Shema. And that is one reading of why we say amen, but what does the word mean? We don't habitually just say acronyms, right? He actually goes on to say amen means two different things in together. It's an amalgamated word. It means, yichaven libelibo, you should have in mind in your heart, emet hi habracha shebirecha mevarech, it's true what he said, and va'ani ma'amin bazeh, and I believe it. So, emet would just mean true. Amen means it's true and I believe it. Any questions?
No. Okay.
Okay, we're done. If it's true, what do you mean? It matter if I believe in it? Truth, by definition, is not contingent. If we say the bracha said is true, should it matter that I don't believe in it? What difference does it make? Before 2016, the world of what at the time was inaugurated by one of the presidential advisors, a world of alternative facts, we believed that there was facts. And there was facts, and that's it. So what does it matter if you believe it or you don't believe it? And I saw a piece today, which I'm sure is a sentiment we all are familiar with, talking about the unfolding crisis in America right now and how people seem to be losing their patience to care about it, unless you're in the midst of it. And this piece essentially suggested, which is a common phenomenon, that as numbers go up, our sympathy goes down, because our ability to relate to a crisis is mitigated when the numbers just become overwhelming, which is why if we've got a particular face or a particular tragedy of one person, the whole country can be moved. We had all the protests the last 3 weeks because one man, you could see on video, was suffering. But if you've got an institutional issue that's just built on statistics, nobody's moved. And the suggestion perhaps is that something can be true and not move me. And what we're saying when we talk about amen is actually the same two messages that we're trying to balance this whole halachic discussion of brachot. On the one hand, it's true. God is there. I believe in this brachot, but it could be so remote and overwhelming and inundate me that I'm not moved by it. It's just too big. Amen. I am it. It's true. But amen is it's true, and I'm involved. I'm engaged. I'm moved by it. And every time we hear a brachot and we say amen, we're not just validating the theology, but we're also experiencing a relationship with God.